How many remember the day you saw Jesus? Amen. I remember as a 10-year-old boy seeing Jesus. And I don't ever want to get over it.
Amen.
And, man, I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm really glad.
Amen.
I'm so saved it's pathetic.
Amen.
And I'm glad I can't lose it, aren't you?
Amen.
Sing it with me. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged, and sinners plunged beneath that flood, who lose all their guilty stains, who lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sin. Beneath that flood, who lose all their guilt, the dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransom. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved. Sing now.
Be saved to sin no more.
Yes. Think about it.
Be saved
to sin no more. Till all the ransomed church of God
be saved to sin no more.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Luke 10. Find it in the Bible, please. Find it in the text, the Gospel of Luke. Man, I'm feeling good. And God, help us. God, help us never to lose it.
Amen.
Folks, I don't know how much time we have left. This might be my last message to preach. Might as well give it everything I got.
Amen.
If y'all think I've left my family to come just play, you're out of your mind. Now, I'm either going to preach or go home. Say amen. And God, help us. I know you didn't come on Tuesday night because you're playing games. I know that. So I'm not going to preach at you for people that didn't show up. Amen. We're going to get in the Bible. But I just letting you know, I'm excited about serving God. And I'm not worthy. I shouldn't be even doing anything for the Lord. But I'm so glad He allows us a chance to do anything for Him. And I praise God for it. Luke 10, verse 1. Let's get in so we can get out of the way. I'm looking forward to hearing Preacher Cox. And let me, I don't think I'll quench the spirit now, but I do want to say thank you, Pastor. And thank you, church. A lot of work goes into this week, and it's just getting started, man. Brother Jenkins is here. My brother's coming in tonight. Y'all fixing to hear two phenomenal men. And I hope you come with your hearts ready and wide open to let God just change you. And let's don't play games. Let's just, hey, whatever, God, whatever you want, I'll add it, I'll delete it, I'll take care of it, I'll get rid of it, I'll put it in, I'll take it out. Man, let's just please Him.
Amen.
And whatever He wants to do, just let Him be, you know, the pilot. Let Him be the co-pilot. Let Him be the stewardess. Let Him be the passenger. Let Him be the airplane. That wouldn't hurt. Just, hey, let Him be it all. Amen. And you'll be glad you did. But thank you for everything. Y'all did a good job. Here we go. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. Therefore said He unto them, the harvest truly is great, and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Father, would you help the reading of your word? May it go into hearts. And Father, would you help me these next few moments? I want to preach your word. I, as I said earlier today, and Lord, I believe with all my heart, I will fail if I try to do this on my own. I need your touch. I need your help. And God, I don't want to just play games. I don't want to just preach another message. I'm not just trying to entertain at all. I want to preach the word of God. Thank you for the good music. Thank you that we've seen you. Thank you for your manifestation in this service already. Father, would you empty me of sin and self? And God, would you hide me behind the cross? God, would you just do something big? If there's one here tonight that's not saved, I pray they trust you. Those that are believers, I pray if they're doing well, may you encourage them. If they're starting to shy away, would you please convict them? Bless my wife and children back at the house. I love you. Touch my dad tonight, please. In your name we pray. Amen. He said, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. I want to preach on dealing with dirt. Dealing with dirt. When I fly to the airport, if I'm preaching somewhere, that night I wear a suit and tie. If I come in early enough where I don't have to, I don't. Y'all pray for me. And I know there's some preachers like, you're going to hell if you travel without wearing a tuxedo or whatever, but I just don't, y'all. Amen. And I flew in Monday, had enough time. I could have borrowed me a shirt and tie from somebody. And so I wore my blue jeans and I go casual. Amen. I'm undercover. And praise God. And that's cost me some meetings, but that's all right. And but like tomorrow, though, I'll be here for the service in the morning. I look forward to hearing my brother preach. And I flew out as late as I could on purpose. Just I love spending time with my family every chance I can and hearing Brother Jenkins. But I'll fly home, so I'll wear a suit and tie. And whenever I do, though, go through the airport, I get my shoes shined. Drives my wife nuts. Because sometimes I have a problem, Brother Cox, Brother Jenkins. Sometimes if we have a layover, I'll get them shined twice. I just like getting my shoes shined. I like sit down and I like hearing that towel pop. Ryan, I just like getting my shoes shined. It's just, it's fun. I feel clean. I feel like, look at my feet. Now don't look now, they ain't been shined. I didn't wear them coming here, amen. But yeah, I just like, he said there's dirt that's gonna cleave on you. And he said, I tell you what you do. You make sure that you wipe it off. We're gonna back up to the front of this text and we'll work our way to that verse 11. As we get into the message tonight. And I'm keeping my eye right on time. Spending time with Jesus is a great thing. I have been reared in this type of environment. I was in a preacher's home my entire life. I don't know anything else. Does not make me a Christian. It just, I'm thankful to God for that opportunity. And I tell kids all the time that we pick up specially on our buses and maybe that come in that didn't come from a, quote, good home, whatever that means, but they didn't have a good home, if you will. And I tell them, evidently, God trusts you a whole lot more than he trusts me because he let you live out there and get away with anything and everything and you turned out okay. He didn't trust me. That's why he put me with Adolf Hitler and Mother Teresa. And I love it very much. Amen. You just didn't get away with anything. Amen. We had metal detectors at the house. I mean, just like you think TSA, they weren't the original. My daddy was the original. Amen. You come in the house, he knew whether you're naughty or nice. He's Santa Claus. Amen. But I was raised in this environment. I was raised where the preachers would come to our house and eat. And I'm talking Lee Robertson and Jack Hiles and Tom Malone and Curtis Hudson and Lester Olof, you name them. They preached at our church. I rode in the cars with them. I grew up with old men, basically, and I loved every second of it. I loved sitting in the back seat of the car. I remember Brother Hiles, my daddy was driving, and I remember Lester Olof was sitting up front, and Lee Robertson was on my left, and Brother Hiles was on my right, and I'm stuck in between those two. and they start swapping stories about church members. And I'll never forget, my daddy turned around and said, "Hey, Boyd, don't you repeat this." I said, "My lips are sealed for now. I'm going to write a book entitled, Now Don't You Repeat This. Amen." And I'm going to put all the stories I've ever heard in that book. And I promise you, you'll buy it, because the way y'all are on Facebook and Twitter, you'll buy anything. Amen. I'm taking pre-orders tonight. Amen. But I was taught by my daddy to respect the man of God. He said, find out what they like. Find out what they want. Find out what they need. Take care of God's man. God will take care of you. And Brother Hiles would come, and he always would like drink a cup of black coffee before he spoke. So I tried to make sure every time I picked him up, there's a fresh cup of coffee sitting there in the car. And I always made sure he had the USA Today paper. And I'd take the life section out. Why? I don't know. It's what he did. And so I'd make sure he didn't have that. And my wife reads that, so I leave it in for her. But so we have it there, and I'd make sure we took care of everything. Spend time with those men of God. It was neat. You would get to watch them. I'd get to hear them talk and watch them and hear them pray sometimes. And I can remember just story after story. And here it is. You get time with Jesus Christ. Boy, I hope we're learning some things. Because he's better than any man ever walked on this planet. Not a one of those men died for me, but Jesus did. In Scripture, you find different groups of people that spent time with Jesus. There were 5,000 one time that followed him. And he said, the only reason you're following me because I'm doing some miracles and you want to eat, so I might as well feed you. And this crowd, they just needed some direction. You sit down in groups of this number, and you sit over there, and you sit over there. I'm going to feed you. It's okay. There's some here tonight. You're part of that 5,000. You just need some direction. And praise God, you go to Christ. He's the right one to give you direction. You'll find the 70, and that's who we're going to speak about tonight. They needed some discernment. They were more than just there to see miracles, and they were there more than just to eat a fish sandwich, if you will, and they wanted a little bit more than just some direction. They needed some discernment. Then you had the top 12. I like those guys. Peter's my favorite. He goes from being a hero to a zero in 6 verses. It's phenomenal. Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I am?" Pete shoots his hand up. "I got this one. Get out of the way, Thomas. Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God." "Oh, yes." And Jesus said, "You've been talking to my dad. I'm impressed. Because only my Father, which is in heaven, would reveal that to you. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. Good job, Peter." Peter's like, "You're welcome. I'll be signing scrolls right over here. I'll get a picture chiseled out with you later. Yeah, right here. Hero." 6 verses later, Jesus is describing what they're going to do to him on the cross. Peter takes him physically, rebukes him, says, "That ain't going to happen as long as Pete's alive." But anything that gets between Jesus and the cross is Satan himself. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So he went from talking to the dad to Satan himself. To the end of the line you go. Can't you see old Judas looking at him and saying, "Man, I'm just a devil. He called you Satan himself, man. That's bad." But I love the 12, and the 12 are those that I would say they have dedication. They don't just need direction. They don't just need discernment. There was one that sat at the receipt of custom that Jesus walked up, and he did not give him a business card and say, "I am the I am. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the creator of the world. I'm going to do this and this and this." No, all he said was, "Follow me." Matthew stood up from his job, turned around, and followed him. Right. These men do a little bit more than just eat and leave. These men do a little bit more than just needing some discernment. They are dedicated. There's a top 3, Peter, James, and John. Why they were the favorite, I have no idea. You'll have to ask God when you get to heaven. But they got to go everywhere. I think he kept Peter with him because he didn't trust him. Amen. But I hope, as what I did with those preachers growing up, I hope we're not just hanging out with Jesus. I hope we're not just riding along in the Word of God and checking out the stories and saying, "That's pretty cool. Oh, you fed 5,000. I'm impressed. Oh, you told a man to take up his bed and walk, and he did. I'm impressed. Oh, you walked on water. Cool. Oh, you healed the withered hand. Not bad." I hope it's more than just riding along. I hope that we'll get past, and I hope we'll understand. God, give us ears to hear. I hope that it's more than just the rules that we have. I hope we'll get so close to the heartbeat of God that as we lean on His breast, we can feel that heartbeat, and we have such a passion to be with the Savior that if I think He doesn't want this, you got it. It's done. that if I just feel this is going to quench the Holy Ghost, God, I don't want to do anything to quench him. Lord, you tell me what you want. You tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Here they are. They're with the Son of God, and I love the fact that Jesus teaches them how to handle anything and everything. Not that they listened. My dad taught me a lot I didn't get. My whole life growing up, his famous phrase was, "Welcome to the real world." Daddy, this ain't right. Well, welcome to the real world. Yeah. Yeah. Daddy, they mistreated me. Welcome to the real world. I turned 21 and got married, and all of a sudden I started getting bills. I called him up, said, "Oh, Daddy, evidently they don't have your address. There's this light company. I don't know what they want me for." And he laughed like all horrible fathers do. Welcome to the real world. My son's truck broke down, and he called me and said, "Daddy, can you get my truck fixed?" I said, "I sure can." So I called the mechanic, and I said, "Man," he goes to our church, said, "can you get my boy's truck fixed?" He said, "I sure can." So he did, and he called me today, and Brother Ken, good deacon in our church, he said, "The truck's ready." I said, "Great." I called Scotty. I said, "Hey, Scotty, truck's ready, man. Go pick it up." "Awesome. Thanks, Dad." "Not a problem, man. You're my boy. I'll do anything in the world for you." Got a call a few minutes later. He said, "Dad, they want money." I said, "Well, it ain't my truck. You asked me to get it fixed. I got it fixed.
There you go.
Now pay." And I felt my father's spirit come out of me as I laughed and said, "Welcome to the real world." So you want to be 21, huh? "Hey, Hoss, how you doing?" He's supposed to pick me up at the airport tomorrow night. I hope he doesn't forget me. Amen. But in the middle of chaos, you remember the soldiers came to take Jesus. You remember that one that was his friend kissed him on the cheek. You remember old Peter grabs a sword and he goes and old Malchus ducks. Peter wasn't chopping for ears. No one's that detailed. He's chopping for necks. And Malchus goes down and Peter swipes and the ear goes off. Don't tell me soldiers weren't pulling out the spears and swords and they're ready to fight. When a fight breaks out, it's more than just saying your mama. Somebody just took off somebody's ear. But in the middle of chaos, Jesus taught them how to, don't stress. Calm down. Puts it right back on. And I imagine it got as quiet as it did just now, and everybody went, "Uh-oh. You better thank God I'm not Jesus. Because I'd have put his ear on backwards." You'll remember the day you walked in his garden. But here he is in the middle of chaos. He taught Peter how to calm down and trust me.
Yeah.
It's more than just preaching a message. It's more than just feeding the thousands. Peter, it's more than just doing this or that. I'm trying to get y'all to learn something. Here we go. Let's get into this message. By way of introduction, you'll find three thoughts in verse number one. I see the 70 that were appointed. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. So Jesus came in and he said, "There's one and I'll take two and three and four and five." And he goes through and he appoints 70. Understand that Jesus is the one that called you and Jesus is the one that chose you. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about service. And Jesus came in and he appointed 70. But here's what we do. I don't think he knows what's wrong with me. As believers, we go one extreme to the other. We're either so humble and you have no idea what I've done in my past and I could never and I could never and I could never. Could we get over it? I'm not saying you don't have issues that we'll remember, but wouldn't it be great if we realize it's under the blood?
Amen.
Wouldn't it be great if we really realize that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world? And wouldn't it be good if we understand that, yes, he's the one that chose you with your handicap?
Amen.
Well, I can't sing. Don't you think God knows your problem and he knows your talents? He gave them to you. He called you. He chose you. He put you in. Trust him. He knows what he's doing. Moses, I need you to lead my people out. God, maybe you might be the creator and you might have everything down, but maybe you forgot. I don't talk well. And God said, "Who made the tongue? And by the way, you're mighty in word and deed. Don't tell me you can't. You can do what I tell you to do." God can choose you with your handicap and take it and mix it with his power. He'll get the credit. You won't. People will get saved. Lives will be helped. All because He said to number 45, number 46, number 47, 69, and 70. Right this way, please. Me? You want me? Oh, yeah, 70 were appointed. And then I see the sending of the assistants in verse 1. And sent them two and two before his face into every city and place. Here he is. He's sending them. And can I say, as you're going for the Lord, remember who sent you. There's going to be some times you're going to go to places that you're thinking, what are we doing here? I remember Preacher Cox. I don't know if you remember or not, but we were talking one day. I said, how's it going, preacher? You said, I'm going to tell you right now, I shut my bus route down. He said, I took him off the place and said, look at this face, because it's the last time you're seeing me. He said, I'm starting this mess over somewhere else. You remember that? Man, there's been times I've looked at bus kids and said, I'm going to kill you and tell God you die of the smallpox and I can get away with it. I'm a pastor of a church. And they're convinced. I believe him. Amen. Oh, God, are you sure? God said, yeah, I told you where to go. God, is this what you want me to do? Yep. Do you know where this mission field is? Yeah, I put it there. He sent them out. But I want you to notice the Savior's being acknowledged, because in verse 1 he said whither he himself would come. You see, you've got to understand this as we go, and we're going to get into the message. I just have three thoughts in the message. We'll shut her down. I think every preacher has three thoughts. Amen. If we pulled up on an accident, we'd say, let me give you three thoughts about this accident right here. But I want you to see the Savior's acknowledged. You see, he said, I counted out my 70 and I put you together two and two, and now I'm going to send you out. Why? So that they can see me? No. So that the Savior can be acknowledged, because he said, I'm fixing to show up where I'm sending you.
Amen.
God, deliver us from showing off self, and God, deliver us from this man worship, and God, deliver us from it's all about me, or it's all about mine, or it's all about my ministry. God, help it to be all about him.
Amen.
We preach Christ. We do not preach our philosophy. We do not preach our own beliefs. We do not preach our opinions. We do not preach what we want and what we like. God, help us to have some old-fashioned, hellfire, bent for leather type preachers that preach Christ. As you go out witnessing, you're not preaching your church. As you go out witnessing, you're not preaching your pastor. You're preaching Christ. Say, but what if they don't want it? That's their business, not mine. If they ain't buying, I'm not selling, I move on to the next one. But I'll find me a Philippian jailer sooner or later that'll say, what must I do to be saved? Oh yeah, we preach Christ. See, it's not about you. It's not about me. I'm not going to extend an invitation tonight, and I don't have a quota. I have to have 10 boys called to preach or I don't stop. No, that's up to God. Well, they have to get saved. I can't force them. I wish I could.
Yep.
You'd see me on the 5 o'clock news holding everybody at gunpoint till they got saved. If I really believed I could force them, I'd do it. But I can't. Oh, it's got to be about him.
Yep.
Paul, what's this all about? Man, I was walking down the road the other day and a bright light shone, I tell you. Never seen anything like it, heard anything like it, but it was Jesus. He saved me, changed me. We preach Christ. Three things, and I'll sit down. Number one, how do we deal with dirt? Number one, know your fight. Know your fight. He said that he sent the 70, then he breaks them up two by two, and then he sends them to where he is fixing to show up afterwards. So we have to know our fight. I mentioned to you last night, 21 years of age when I went into full-time evangelism, had already been traveling since the age of 18, but I had my first meeting at Dr. Cox's church, and I'll never forget, at 21, I have all the answers. I can change your church. Man, I can change the world. I've heard enough preaching. I've read the Bible. How hard is it? Isn't it funny how dogmatic we are on some things that really don't matter? Isn't it funny? And y'all pray for me. Don't get mad at me now. He asked me to come. I've heard preachers waste entire messages on everything from paisley ties to colored shirts to white socks to God help. Are you kidding me? Do you not have a King James? Do you not know the Lord's coming back and you're worried about what cotton picking colored shirt I wear? Now, whatever your church does, you do what your preacher does, you do. But get off my back, Hoss. You ain't got no Bible for that. And don't force your cultist act on me. Amen. No. We'll just stick with the book. And I'm not old, but I mean, the older I get, the more I'm figuring out it don't matter. They said, Jesus, they're casting out devils. He said, it don't matter. But they're not doing it like we do it. It don't matter. There's some things that do. Don't misunderstand. I believe we ought to do our best to be appealing to people to get them in, but we still ought to be authentic. Amen. There's some things I'm not going to change. Virgin birth. Oh, I ain't changing that. Get on. Yeah, no. He was virgin born. Amen. Oh, the vicarious suffering of Christ. Yeah, the victorious resurrection, the visible return. Oh, there's some things I'm not changing. Amen. But when you're going out two by two, you can either spend your whole time fighting each other, or you can do what God sent you to do.
Amen.
I have preachers call all the time. I had no idea how mean they were until I started pastoring. Hey, what do you think about Pastor so-and-so? Well, is he in Durham? No. Is he going to tithe at my church? No. Is he going to run a bus route? No. And I don't care what he's doing.
Amen.
Knock yourself out. Because I ain't starting a church there, so I ain't worried about it. When I start one there, then I worry about it. I mean, unless you're attacking my people, you're coming into my house, then I'll straighten it out. Until then, it don't matter. Be careful about getting disillusioned and discouraged and distracted and understand. Okay, here's what God said. Come here, you two. Put your Bibles down. Lock arms. Because I don't have time to tie y'all together. He said, you and you go. So here they are. Follow me, guys. As they go out, he sent them two and two. If they're not careful, they'll waste their time fighting each other. Face each other and put your dukes up. Don't hit. If they're not careful, this is what we do. We spend our whole time, oh, why did I get stuck with you? I don't know how to get stuck with you. I don't like you. I don't like you. Man, you don't do it right. You don't do it right either. We spend our whole time, and isn't it funny, the people that do very little are the ones that complain about everything. Well, the PA was too loud today and everything. I didn't like that special. Why does everybody scream so loud when they're singing? I mean, I don't know. You think you're safe from hell or something. But here we go. We get to where we're fighting each other. No. You got to know your fight. Your fight is not with him, and your fight is not with him. You're fighting the devil. You're fighting the world. Man, we've got to keep people out of hell. You got to know your fight. Thank you, guys. Have a seat. What's our fight? Look at verse number 2 very quickly. We got to hurry. Man, I'm getting hungry. Here we go. Therefore, he said unto them, the harvest truly is great. What? Know your fight. First of all, there's a need for harvesting. The harvest is great. He said, I need 70. He appointed the 70. Then he said, let me break you up two and two. And he broke them up two and two. Then he said, guys, turn around and look. The harvest is great. Boy, there's a need for harvesting. We've got to get out there. Are you telling me all of Columbus is saved? Are you telling me all of Lancaster saved, all of Hazard saved? No. There's a lot of people out there that need the gospel. Somebody's got to get out there and get to work. The harvest is too big for us to walk into church and complain about the air, or the lights, or the carpet, or the songbooks, or the tide, or this or that. No, the harvest is too great. Get to work. Then he said there's a need for help, verse 2. Pray ye, but the laborers are what? Few. He said, that's why you're two and two. He said, look around, boys. The harvest is ready. Get to work. And then he said, boy, we need some help. Now, can I encourage you? Here's the best place to get to ask God for help is when you're out there working.
Amen.
And I'm preaching to me right now. We need to get busy.
Amen.
I don't win souls like I should. Y'all pray for me. We need to get out there.
Amen.
We need to get after it.
Amen.
The best place to pray for help is when you're out knocking doors in the summertime and sweat's rolling down your face. Man, your shirt collars change every kind of color there is. You're dying for a Diet Mountain Dew right now. You'd kill for that, man. And I mean, you've knocked on 20 doors, people cussing you out, throwing tracks right back at you, sicking every dog on you in the county, and you saying, God, can I have some help?
Amen.
That's the place to pray.
Amen.
He said, you look at that harvest and you understand you need help, but he said, also understand you need the Holy One. In verse 2, he said, pray ye therefore the what? Lord of the harvest. Can I tell you what we need more than anything? We need the Holy One.
Yeah,
more than we need to talk somebody in and force them to do something, we need the Holy One, because if He gets a hold of their heart, man, they'll do things you never imagined. Things will get done like never before. When the Holy One gets a hold of you, He'll change your heart. He'll change your life. He'll change your attitude. He'll change your appearance. He'll change your actions. When you get the Holy One in your life, He'll change you. Know your fight. Number two, keep your focus. Look at verse 3. I've never met a person with this as their life verse. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Jesus said, here's our soul winning meeting. Here's my 70. Now you two are together. You two are together. You two. I don't like him. Shut up. You're together. Here we go. I'm sorry. Shuttest thou mouth. You're together. You're together. You're together. He said, now, here we go. Y'all ready? We're ready. You see, pep rally. I love going into public schools and preaching and getting them together. I love having rallies. I love getting them together. Man, I've been in where we packed out a gym of the entire school, and we'll get them pumped up, man. Yeah. I've seen a lot of mascots in my time. I've seen the Bulldogs. Yeah, we're the Bulldogs. I've seen the Gators. Oh, yeah, we're the Gators. I don't know what a Buckeye is, but we're the Gators, and we're easy. Calm down. Amen. I know of a hostile crowd. When you preach in Durham with the Tar Heels and State and Duke Blue Devils, God help. I have a church split every week. But I know I've never seen a mascot come out. What are you? We're the lambs. Mighty lambs, mighty lambs, let me hear the roar. Look out. Here comes the little white lamb. Mary and all the cheerleaders are coming out. Lamb, lamb, he's our man. I mean, that doesn't sound too impressive to me.
Right.
We're going to get you. Can't you see one of them 70 going, Jesus, can I ask a question? Can we be anything else? I don't want to wear that outfit. Oh, you're the mascot, Pete. Can I say, know your fight, but number two, keep your focus. About the focus, I want to say you're very vulnerable when you're a lamb among wolves. And you got to keep your focus. Can I say there'll be vicious attacks? You got to keep your focus. You see, we're not built to fight. And that's where we're getting in trouble.
Yeah, amen. Amen, that's a good point.
Sheep are not created to fight. They're made to stick together. And they're made to follow that shepherd. Where he leads me, I will follow. Psalms 23, he said, I'll guide you. You just come on in, follow me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You better keep your focus. Vicious attacks, because the Bible says in verse 3 that he said, I'm sending you forth as lambs among what? Oh, now we got more than one. You ever gone out sowing and start walking through a fence, which that ain't happening to me. I'm telling you right now, I leave a track. There's a verse that says, work out your own salvation. I am not going in there with a dog. That's your own fault. But I've been there where it's like, oh, no. Ma'am, does your dog bite? Oh, no. And it bites you. Oh, it's not my dog. And or I've heard this so many times. He's never done that before. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
It's a first for everything.
Right.
As a lamb, we're walking out into this world, and there's not just a wolf that we all keep our eye on. Wolves are everywhere. And you walk in a pack, you better take your time. You better take... Oh, I believe the Scripture teaches us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
Yes, sir.
I believe we're supposed to take one step at a time. They say don't run. I'm just going to tell you, I run. Because I don't have to outrun him. I got to outrun my soul and partner. Say amen. Took my family down to Florida the last couple weeks. We're down there on vacation. I said, boys, I'm going to teach you something Brother Chris Teff taught me. When it comes to a shark attack, if there's anything out here in this water, you yell, help. Help! Because everybody will run at you. Because when you yell shark, they're all turning around and going the other way. Amen. You walk circumspectly. These wolves, they're everywhere. And you've got to keep your focus. Well, they're attacking us. Keep your focus. Because he knows where you're at. He put it there. He sent it there. You need it. If everybody you witnessed to got saved, called to preach, went to the mission field, we couldn't live with each other. We'd all be writing books. How to be the best soul winner and to train the other 100 soul winners. God, help us. I mean, the vicious attacks. But finally, number three, how to deal with dirt. We need to keep our freedom. Verse 4, through the rest of verses, here we go. We'll hasten. He said, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man, by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. Can I say, keep your freedom of stuff? He said, don't carry purse or scrip or shoes. Can I tell you what would really help us, especially in this day and age? Brother Jenkins mentioned this before the services. We were just chatting about some things, and it's so true. If we could just get free of stuff. I'm not against having things. I am against the things having us.
Amen.
Don't get mad at me, y'all, but I mean, that what's that money, dude, on the radio? Ramses. Like, he's some of y'all's pastor, and I know. Whatever he says, that's gold. I mean, he's God. It's like Dr. Phil's God, Ramses is God, and all that stuff. I think you ought to be out of debt. Everybody okay? You ought to be debt-free. Because think how much more we can do with our missionaries. I'm for it. I'm not against him. I'm just saying it's turned in. Well, I've had some people bow up at me. Well, that's not what he said. Well, we're going to stick with what God says.
Amen.
Everybody okay? I'm not your pastor, so let's go on. But hey, we get so tied up with things. If we were free with things, and then the pastor could stand up and say, we've got a dear sister church. They're in trouble. They need some help. We need to raise some funds tonight. Man, we could do it.
Right.
Amen. But America, we're so far under in credit cards and we're so far under in everything else. It wouldn't hurt if we got two or three jobs, rolled up our sleeves, said, honey, we're going on a financial fast for a while. Amen. We ain't doing nothing. Well, how are we going to live? Hot dogs. Every night? Yep. So eat them slow, boys. Amen. And pray they have a time to eat at the church. Amen. He said, you need to be free of stuff. You need to be able to go and ready to go. I'm not against having things. If God bless you, that's wonderful. And on the other end, some reason we think if you're rich, you're in sin. That's not true. Come on, man. God blesses those that can handle it. Amen. But then you need to be free to be spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. Here we go. Guide me, Lord. Verse 5. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. Now, can I say to be spirit-filled, in verse 5, he said, you're going to have to enter in some things. That you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone. We feel very safe in here, and that's good. We can shout it out in here, and that's wonderful. We should be able to. But if we're really going to reach the world, we're going to have to step out of our comfort zone. We're going to have to look at somebody we don't even know and say, can I tell you about the person that saved me? I don't know what you know about him. I don't know what your reaction's going to be. But I'll tell you, he'll save you too.
Amen.
Oh, we're going to have to step out. We're going to have to sit down and enjoy some blessings to be spirit-filled. Look at verse 7. And in the same house remain eating, drinking, such things as they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. He said, sit down and eat it. What they give you, that's what I want you to have. We're going to, okay, everybody wants everyone else's church.
Right.
And it's because you ain't there. Man, that guy's the best. Boy, if I could live there. There's people that move all over the country. I mean, they're keeping Penske in business. And the truth is, if you just sit down and eat.
Amen.
If I went to this church, you know what I'd do? I'd sit down and I'd eat.
Amen.
But we're so busy looking everywhere else.
Amen.
Man, I hear. Well, the grass is so much greener. You may not want to pay the water bill.
Yeah.
Or it might be artificial turf.
Yeah.
It may not be what they're saying it is.
That's right.
Amen. You might want to sit down and eat. Oh, here we go. Let's shut her down. How do we keep our freedom? By staying clean. In verses 10 and 11, he said, but in whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your way. Out of the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Can I tell you what we need to do? We need to be careful what we take with us. And he said, you need to take time and wipe off. We're bringing too much mess into the house of God.
Amen. Amen.
You parents ever get in a car and check your shoes, boys? It ain't me, Daddy. It ain't me. It's never anyone. Then I see a shoe fly out the window. It belongs to somebody. We're stepping in so much stuff and we're bringing so much stuff into our Christian life. Quit carrying into today what you had yesterday. If we really believe that His mercies are new every day, we could sit down with the Father and we could go to Him and get in line and say, God, it's me again and I'm so sorry, but Lord, I need Your grace and I need Your mercy and I need Your love, and God, I'm willing to follow You. Thank You for saving me and thank You for cleansing me. Lord, give me another shot and I'll do my best today.
Amen.
We've got to wipe some things off. He said, if they don't receive it, just clean it off and go to the next town. Because the kingdom of God, it's nigh. We're going to have to deal with some things. Be patient with those that are dealing with things. Some of you just have a little dust. Some people stepped in some concrete. They need a jackhammer. Clean off their shoes. Be careful, as we all are sinners and we all come to the same altar and we're all bowing before the same God. Before you get up so quick and say, well, I'm good. What's wrong with you? I like what the pastor said this morning. If we're not careful, we stare at the one at the altar and say, I wonder what they did. What's wrong with them? When the truth is, the ones at the altar ought to turn around and say, what's wrong with them?
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Father, thank You so much for tonight. I love You. I hope I pleased You. I hope I didn't go out of bounds. Would You please bless the remainder of this service? Thank You for these good folks. Thank You for the tremendous spirit that's here. Thank You for the guest. Thank You for the members. Lord, would You help us as we continue this meeting on through the rest of the week? I pray that we would deal with the issues of our lives. And Holy Spirit of God, I pray that You give us the power we need. Help us to listen to You and just basically do what You say, and we'll be okay. Father, thank You for Your kindness to us. We love You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Richard.